Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. The vast expanse of India's exclusive economic zone, or EEZ, is an untapped treasure trove of marine resources with the potential to revolutionize the country's fisheries sector and contribute significantly to its economic growth. What makes this significant is that India's fisheries sector, despite being a substantial contributor to the country's economy, has historically focused on inland and coastal fishing, leaving the deep sea and offshore zones largely untapped. First, let's look at some key statistics. India's fisheries sector contributes approximately 1.1% of the country's GDP and around 5% of agricultural GDP. Note this carefully. These numbers indicate the sector's potential for growth and expansion. Building on this, Niti Aayog has released a phased framework to develop the country's underutilized deep-sea and offshore fishing sector, titled India's Blue Economy: Strategy for Harnessing Deep-Sea and Offshore Fisheries. This report was launched by Professor Ramesh Chand, a member of Niti Aayog, and B.V.R. Subramanyam, the CEO of Niti Aayog, with a roadmap stretching to 2033 and beyond. The strategy is divided into three phases. Phase 1, from 2025 to 2028, focuses on foundation building, which includes mapping deep-sea fish stocks via scientific surveys, building fishing vessel capacity for deep-sea operations, training fisher folk in offshore navigation and safety, strengthening cold chain and processing infrastructure, and pilot offshore fisheries projects in select EEZ zones. Crucially, this phase lays the groundwork for the subsequent expansion and growth of the sector. It is worth pausing here to note that Phase 2, from 2029 to 2032, involves the commercial deployment of deep-sea fishing fleets, joint ventures with experienced international operators such as Norway and Japan, expansion of seafood processing exports, aquaculture for high-value species like tuna and shrimp, and the development of ports specialized for offshore fishing fleets. This phase is expected to scale up the sector's operations and increase its global competitiveness. And here is something that surprises many students. Phase 3, which begins in 2033, aims for the full utilization of EEZ and continental shelf resources, with Indian fishing fleets operating in international waters under the rules of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, or UNCLOS. Additionally, aquaculture is expected to become a major contributor to the sector, alongside wild catch, and climate-resilient fisheries management will be a key focus area. But why does this matter? Deep-sea fishing extends operations to the entire EEZ, which is nearly three times larger than India's land area, and hosts high-value species like tuna, billfish, deep-sea shrimp, and lobster that command premium prices in international markets. So what exactly changed? The answer lies in the fact that coastal fish stocks are increasingly overfished, and shifting to deep-sea operations can relieve pressure on coastal ecosystems and fishing communities. Now, let us turn to the concept of the blue economy. The blue economy refers to the sustainable use of ocean resources for economic growth, improved livelihoods, and ecosystem health. Remember this number: India's blue economy potential is estimated at $1 trillion by 2030, according to Niti Aayog. What makes this significant is that the current flagship fisheries scheme, the Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana, or PMMSY, laid the foundation for the development of the fisheries sector, and the new blue economy strategy extends it specifically to deep-sea and offshore fisheries. Note this carefully. PMMSY was launched in 2020 with a total outlay of 20,050 crore rupees over 5 years, and its successor, PMMSY 2.0, is currently under design. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. India's rank in fish production is second globally, with the country accounting for 8% of global output. The coastline of India spans 11,099 kilometers and its ease, it covers 24 lakh square kilometers. Seafood exports in the financial year 2024-25 stood at 62,408 crore rupees. The Niti Aayog Blue Economy strategy is divided into three phases from 2025-28, 2029-32, and 2033 onwards. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This topic is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers economy and environment, and GS Paper 2, which covers international relations. Remember that the blue economy concept, its components, and India's potential in this sector are crucial for your exam preparation. Now, let us look at some additional facts. India's fisheries sector grew from 7.48 million tons in 2005-06 to approximately 17.5 million tons in 2024-25, a 2.3 times increase in two decades, making it one of the fastest growing food sectors. Marine fisheries account for approximately 37% of India's fish production, with the rest coming from inland aquaculture. Andhra Pradesh is India's largest fish-producing state, contributing around 25% of total production. The Sagarmala program complements the Blue Economy strategy by developing port infrastructure and coastal economic zones, both of which fall under the broader maritime development umbrella. Tuna is the most valuable fish in international markets, and India's tuna catch is currently very small compared to the potential in its EEZ. Deep-sea fishing would unlock this segment. India is a member of the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission, the international body that manages tuna stocks in the Indian Ocean. In conclusion, the Niti Aayog's Blue Economy strategy has the potential to revolutionize India's fisheries sector, contributing significantly to the country's economic growth, improving livelihoods, and ensuring ecosystem health. This development is crucial for India's strategic position in the Indian Ocean region and its engagement with regional fishing rights disputes.